Big Orange fans, you played every snap. You showed your orange, but you're just getting started.
Not over yet!
Because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college football. It's time for the Smart Way Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction Show. The place where the Big Orange universe from all around the world gathers to talk about today's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now. 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or hit us up on Twitter, at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smart Way Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction, the man who's been keeping it real for ball fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tony Basilio.
Doesn't need you. He'll totally dismiss you if you're not gonna toe the line. You might as well get out. And I think being his senior year, I believe that's right, or is in a change of pace with a coach. I think that really helps Justin Martin. But here, Jesse Simonton is reporting on VolQuest that Juwan Jennings was fine on the sidelines after limping off. He wanted to come back in, but the coaches told him to, you know, take a powder. So thank you, Jesse Simonton, for putting that out there. So aside from that running back, I guess we came out of there relatively injury-free.
Yeah, and Dowdy suffered a little bit of a shake-up there toward the end of the second quarter. But we're going to go to Jeff, who's our first caller this evening or this afternoon. Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Jeff, the crowd didn't look all that big today. Can you give us a kind of an estimation of how many people were there?
Not very many. It was probably like 25,000.
Okay.
I think that speaks
more. Impressions of the whole day.
That speaks more to the weather, though, as opposed to anything else.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I wasn't planning on coming because of the weather. I had ruled it out. And when I saw the weather was just staying north of us, I was like, I'll pack up. I'll go check it out. So I think that was part of it. I think if it was a beautiful day out, I think you'd have had more people. Of course, we got evacuated, and now it's super bad weather and hail and stuff. But anyway, no, I've been listening to you guys. Great comments. Thanks for spending your time to do this. But I wanted to chime in on the whole Jerick Garantano-Dormady deal. I agree that Dormady looked better. I think that speaks to his ability. I think, though, you've got to be careful when you try to compare those two apples to apples because Dormady was in his element, right? So he's not going to run. I mean, he can sneak up on you with the run, but that's not his thing, okay? Garantano, his run complements the pass, and some may argue that his pass complements his run. And so when you put him in a format that has him where he can't run, okay, no run situation, the defense knows that you're looking at a completely different scenario for him. He can't play to his strength, or at least to a side of his game that really, really is a big part of his game. And so I don't want to take anything away from Dormady because he was on point, looked great, and I think that's going to do well for Tennessee moving forward. But careful to anoint, you know, Dormady the starter based on his performance because there's no doubt when you put, you know, skill, when you put him in the skill drill, you know, Garantano looked the part. He threw the ball. I mean, I think there's no question he's got more zip on his ball. But he did look kind of rushed. I agreed with one of you guys that said he looked like he was trying to prove something out there. But again, you take away his feet, he's a different player.
No, I agree with that. And what I was trying to be careful not to, you know, discount Garantano. My main observation, maybe you'll agree, but I just thought that Dormady looked completely comfortable out there. It looked to me like he thought himself the starter already. And I just liked the way, I mean, he had a couple of check down passes. He had two passes that looked like, I mean, the Eli Wolf one looked like that wasn't his first target. He let that develop and then hit him. I mean, it was a perfect throw. So I was just very impressed with his composure and the way that we don't know how Larry Scott's going to call a game. You know, down in Miami, I'm not sure with Brad Kaya and some of the other players down there, I'm not sure that he's ever been with a quarterback that runs like Garantano or Josh Dobbs. So I was just coming from the angle of just the presence on the field of Dormady. I was very impressed with that.
Yeah, well, I agree. And I don't, I think it's important to note that just because you praise Dormady doesn't mean you're necessarily discounting Garantano, because I think Dormady, his numbers speak for themselves. He did look he looked composed out there. He looked like he looked like the starting quarterback. I think it's far from over. However, what it's done is if Dormady ends up coming out as on top at the end of the fall practice, I think you're going to have a lot of people, myself included, who's kind of more in the Garantano camp. I think you're going to have a lot of people that are more like, okay, well, I think that makes sense, and I think you're going to have people back the coaches more, as opposed to what I thought was going to happen is Dormady was kind of like the de facto guy because of his leadership or his tenure. I think he showed a lot of boys out there. And I'll say one other thing. I'll get off here and get to your another caller. But Thule, I think that guy is a beast. I'm very encouraged by what he showed out there. A lot of what's come out of camp is he's sort of the star, a defensive surprise of the camp. And I'm really happy to see some linebackers because it's just kind of been lacking over the years. Great show, guys.
Thanks for calling, Jeff. Brian, who was he speaking about at the end there?
Daniel Betulli, I believe.
Betulli, you know what? I heard his name a couple of times and then there were a couple of posts on the chats about how well he played. I'll have to be honest, I didn't really notice him for whatever reason. Maybe it's because I'm not used to all the new numbers or, you know, seeing these new guys out there. But, you know, he certainly has been the talk of spring camp so far. So I'm really glad. That's another kid that I wondered about the competition that he played in high school, but it seems that he's just taken to this place like a fish to water. So hopefully he continues. It'd be interesting to see if they can get him and Kirkland on the field at the same time. I'd hate to think that, you know, someone like Betulli is going to sit on the sidelines until Kirkland leaves or graduates and then have other guys out there. But, yeah, great call, Jeff. Who else do we have there, Brian?
Well, we have open lines, but please, let's do something about that. 865-200-5402. Jeff brought up a great point about the fact that Garantano really couldn't do what he might do best as far as running because they didn't really let the quarterbacks get hit. But then again, in these scrimmages, they really don't give them the full offense that they're going to give them in the fall. So they're not running all the plays they'd normally be asked to run. You don't really get to showcase as many of their strengths as you would if it were later in the fall.
No, and one thing I noticed, when you're in high school, a kid like Garantano, who has the ability to run like he does, he can take a little time making decisions because he knows he's one of the bigger kids on the field in high school, and he knows he can get away from most pass rushes. In college, you can't do that all the time, especially against Alabama, LSU, and some of the other teams that are just stacked on defense and have speed. One thing I did notice about Garantano was he didn't make as quick a decisions getting the ball out that I noticed from Dormady. Now, certainly that's to be explained by the amount of time on campus. You know, he hasn't had any live balls, you know, like Dormady has. And again, like Jeff says, because you praise one does not mean you're down in the other. I think the fact that Dormady, well, look, Sherron Jones has been there 2 years, and there was really no even though Sherron was injured, there's no comparison between Garantano. So I don't know. I'd like, when a quarterback runs the ball, certainly it can create some big plays. But when you have a quarterback that relies on his running ability, you somewhat cut down the field, and you somewhat, you know, take the ball out of the hands of some of your other playmakers. I think we saw that part last year or the past couple of years when Dobbs would run around, and maybe he had to because he was extending a play or he's a playmaker or the offensive line was troubling. But I saw a lot of wide receivers kind of just give up because they kind of figured that he was going to take off and they weren't going to get the ball. So it is a double-edged sword there, but no, I'm taking nothing away from Garantano. I'm glad he's on the team. He looked good in his first live action, so let the competition continue.
Sean, a couple things from I want to point out, and then something that I want to give my take on, something that I saw that sort of disturbed, well, I don't know if it disturbed me, but I think they probably could have left this out, but I'm going to start by saying that Butch thinks or said he thought there were 35,000 people there today. I'm not so sure if he's not seeing double, but I don't think there were 35,000.
Well, no, and you know, Butch is a coach of positive hyperbole. He's always going to throw out, you know, his talking points. I wasn't there. It looked pretty sparse to me.
Maybe 20.
But yeah, you got to figure the weather had something to do with that. You're also coming off of a season of totally blown expectations and opportunities. You know, he's in a lot of people's minds. He's on the hot seat. There's not a lot of, and the recruiting was I know the rankings showed that it was a top 15 class. I think the vibe of the recruiting class amongst some of the recruiting fans was it wasn't as good as it had been. So no, I'm through ripping Butch for what he says. I'm just accepting the way he is and going on, but no, it certainly didn't look like 35,000 out there to me.
And Butch has said there's really no clear-cut favorite for the starting QB at this point, which I guess is what you would expect him to say.
Well, you don't want to, there's no reason to make a decision right now. For one, you know, if Garantano is going to be the starting quarterback, and if he is good for him, I can guarantee you I can't guarantee you, but I would be willing to bet that Dormady's on his way out. I mean, he only has 2 years to play. He has NFL aspirations. He looks to me like he has NFL talent. And so there's no way he's going to sit the bench. So there's really no reason to name a starter right now. But, you know, I've heard a couple of people say that we have a very talented quarterback room, including, you know, what you have there with Will McBride. And it wasn't it neat seeing him hit the Juwan Jennings thing on the quarterback challenge at Hail Mary. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a good segue because I don't know if it's really, really wise to reenact a Hail Mary. I mean, you think that's not going to make it to George's locker room? You think they're not going to use that as motivation?
Man, that to me, locker room wall motivation is the most overrated thing in college football. I remember position coaches would put little things on, you know, sayings or whatever on the players' lockers. I think that's more Hollywood than anything. Butch is just trying to get a positive thing from last year out of here. I don't think Georgia gives a flip.
Well, they may give a flip about that, though. I mean, that was a pretty devastating way to lose a game.
Well, sure it was, but having that in the game. I mean, you take a look last year when Kublano or whatever his name is came up in Georgia. It was pretty laid back. Nobody that I could tell went after his knee or anything. So, I mean, that would be way more motivating what he did to Tuttle than Juwan Jennings catching that pass.
And another report, Butch Jones says, according to John Bryce, Marquez Callaway had as good or better spring than anyone as good as you could have. That is wide receiver Marquez Callaway.
He sure looked. I think he caught a curl route, and he looks like an SEC wide receiver. I've been a big fan of Brandon Johnson, and I hate that he missed spring because I think he can contribute when healthy. But Callaway sure looks to be, you know, he was a top 60, 75 player in the country out of Georgia in high school. He looks the part.
How many receivers do you are they going to talk about the receiver, the coaching change at wide receiver? Have you seen any, have you noticed anything different today in that regard?
Everything I've seen is just a snippet from an internet site or from today. I wouldn't be able to tell you if there's anything different. I think what big thing that's come out, and I know people have tried to talk about, you know, what a promotion or what it means for someone like Azani to go to the NFL and the Bears. Okay, whatever. But I've heard a couple things when they were talking about Josh Dobbs or defending Josh Dobbs, talk about how the receivers help him out, any running the wrong routes, ending up in the wrong space, and Dobbs had to make up for that. So you could coach wide receivers, and I'd be quite happy over Azani, to be honest with you.
Could that have had to do a lot with the offense, though, they were running, because Dobbs was so prone to just take off?
Well, there's no excuse for a wide receiver not to run the proper route and a complete route. I mean, the only reason you're doing that is just lack of effort or discipline. I mean, it's, you know, your best receivers are going to, you know, they're going to continue doing what they do because you never know when the ball's going to come your way. So I don't know about that. I've heard from a number of people that the wide receivers were not particularly fond of playing for Azani. And so, you know, good luck to him in the NFL. Hope he has a long coaching career there. I'm glad we have someone else. Now, I can't speak to anything that Kevin Beard has added to the wide receiver core this year. I do think that Beard's going to be very effective on the recruiting front down in South Florida. We may be able to pluck a couple kids out of there. But to answer your question, I didn't really notice anything.
Butch says this team is one that works hard. I guess that's what we should hear and hope to hear. Is there any difference? Do you think he might, meaning that this team maybe works harder than some that he's had in the past?
No one's – look, you'll never hear a coach badmouth a recruiting class on signing day. You never hear a coach, you know, talk negatively coming out of spring practice because that's a negative, you know, image on themselves. So once again, whatever he says is just in the wind to me.
He also says that the Vols must get stronger, more physical, and better with takeaways before next season.
Well, I think he needs to own that. I think that's a product of his completely mismanaging the strength and conditioning program last year. Some may or may not think there's a link between that and the injury situation we had. I'll tell you, a stronger nail is harder than, a bigger nail is harder to hit into wood than a smaller nail. And I saw us getting pushed around a lot last year that we hadn't in his first 3 years on campus. So, yeah, they do need to get stronger.
We definitely need your participation. The number to call in is...
If no one's going to call in, we should just end it. I appreciate Tony wants to have this thing on, but...
There's
not a lot of fanfare. I don't really want to sit around for 45 more minutes.
Well, you know what? We'll start talking Premier League soccer or something. 865-200-5402. Here we go. Let's go put you straight on the air. Let's go to good evening.
Hey, Brian.
Yes, hello.
Hey,
we got?
Guys. Thanks for doing the show today.
You're welcome.
Young Vent.
Vent. Say that again.
Young Vent.
Young Vent.
Yep.
Thank you
Young
for calling.
Vent.
And saving us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Went to the game today. Basically, I think pretty much agree with Cinco's assessment. I thought he looked pretty impressive today. Made all the throws I think he wanted to make. Didn't see any, errant throws or anything like that, and had a nice touch throw. Nice touch to touch pass to Ethan Wolf there in the end zone. So thought Dormady did pretty good.
What else? What besides the actual game or, you know, scrimmage itself? What other activities did you get to partake in? Did they have a fans' day? Did you see a bunch of recruits there? Did you see any of the current signees that are coming in? What was your take on any of that?
Unfortunately, I didn't get there till about 10 minutes before, so I just pretty much walked in the stadium, sat down, and that was about it. So no, I didn't get to see any of the pregame activity or any of the recruits or anything.
Butch Jones said that he thought there was 35,000. We've had other people debate that. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, 25,000, I would say.
Okay.
Something like that, 20, 25.
Now, I'm down in Maryville. Was the weather really ominous coming in when he called the game?
Yeah. Yeah, it was getting pretty dark. So it was bearing down pretty good. And so they called the game, and I ran back over here to the parking garage, and about that time it opened up and started pouring. So yeah, pretty bad.
Well, Dormady and Juwan Jennings obviously featured today, and we knew they would. Any other players out there catch your eye?
Feels of me looked pretty good. I thought he had a pretty good couple, you know, good carries for what it was today. Yeah, he looked pretty good. Ethan Wolf had a couple of nice catches, I think. Like I said earlier, especially the catch for the touchdown from Dormady. That was good. Only other thing I was going to say was, you know, it may not be a big deal. The only other thing that kind of concerned me was Medley. They lined him up for, I don't know what it was, 30, 35-yard field goal or something like that, and, you know, pulled it wide left, which, you know, may not be a big deal, but, like, you know, it's kind of a glorified practice. I would have liked to have seen him knock that through, you know, on that opportunity, but.
I'll have to be quite honest. I don't have any confidence in Medley hitting a significant, important field goal for Tennessee. This is going into his fourth year, do you?
Well, here's a point on the kickers. Who was the last kicker we could actually depend on for 4 years? James Wilhoit? It seems like ever since then, the kicking situation has been kind of shaky.
Yeah.
Well, as far as field goals, I agree. You know, when Medley's allowed to kick it into the end zone, he does a pretty good job. You know, when they ask him to do those directional kicks, trying to pin people in the, you know, deep into the corners, I think he gets a little haywire. But, yeah, I'm not really impressed. Now, did Daniel do much? I know he had one punt, but did he do much? Did you see?
I think, yeah, I remember seeing two punts. And the first one, he kind of looked like he kind of shanked that a little bit. That was kind of a head scratcher, but and then the second one looked all right. But those are the only two I can remember seeing from him.
You know, we've got an incredible amount of talent that's on the sidelines with injuries. Just from your eye test, does this look like a team that can compete for an Eastern Division title, or is it just too many people out for you to gauge, you know, potential success next year?
Probably hard to gauge right now. I think seeing Dormady maybe boosted my confidence a little bit.
Yep.
That was nice to see him do some things. So that may help. That may bode well for us. But yeah, I think it's hard to. It's just hard to make a prediction right now with anything regarding the East. I know Easton from Georgia. You know, he's a really great quarterback. So I expect Georgia to do some good things, you know, this season. So kind of hard to say right now.
You know, that's going to be interesting because the East is full of good quarterbacks. You got the Drew Locke kid up at Missouri. He's got a big-time arm. Came down here and was throwing the ball around. Eason, obviously. Those two, I kind of like Locke, to be honest with you. The kid coming out of high school at South Carolina looks like he's going to be a player. You got Dormady. I'm not familiar with Vandy and Kentucky, what they have, but we're going to see a lot of good quarterbacks this year. So anything you could gain from the – Brian had asked about Charlton Warren. Any takeaways from the defensive backfield that you may have gained coming out of the game?
No, kind of like what you were saying earlier, I'm not real familiar with, all the, the new guys out there, some of the new numbers and things like that. Didn't really see those guys make many plays on the ball while they were out there, except for when Jones was in at quarterback. He kind of scrambled a little bit and tried to throw one back across the shoulder, across the middle, and I don't know if it was a linebacker. I don't know who it was. He kind of came across the middle there, made a play on the ball. But other than that, I think that's about all I saw, from the backfield, defensive backs.
And I've been to at least two of the Butch Jones spring games, and when he seemed to very much enjoy having the mic in his hand and kind of had some high school Harry moments. Really trying to rip up the crowd with, that first down chain he had a couple years ago, and then naming the captains, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? It seemed like we had a more subdued Butch Jones out there. What was your opinion of the coach?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, he had the mic in his hand, and he was, trying to, pump up the crowd and
Hello?
Are you still there? I guess we lost him. Please let you finish your point. And
I wonder if anybody's out there listening, if they call in. Yeah, I know we're very early into the John Curry era of Tennessee, but I wonder if there was anything that maybe Curry added to it. I mean, was there a different take on customer service or, people around the stadium being nicer or anything like that? I want to cheer for John Curry, but maybe it's just too early in his time here at Tennessee to have an effect on the game.
Well, he apparently was actually interacting with the fans that were in line very early this morning. So
that's great.
I think there is a sense that John Curry is starting to value the fans maybe a little bit more than the previous athletic director did, and some athletic directors have in the past.
Dickey certainly wasn't a rah-rah guy, and Mike Hamilton was. He was very much out in front of a lot of this stuff. Dave Hart, I'm not so sure, but maybe we have a new era of a guy that's really plugged into social media. I wonder if Davenport, did she have any presence at the game?
I wonder if she was looking for Dave Hart. That's my question.
I don't know. I think she's kind of funny. She reminds me of you may not be old enough. Old Sally Field as Gidget back in the day. Smiling her way through life. And
I know Sally Field.
Sally Dingy.
Yeah, let's go to Barney Boy. Barney Boy from Virginia. Thank you for calling.
Barney,
thanks for calling.
Hey, who am I talking to?
You got Brian Hartman, who answered your call, and Sean Sinclair. I met you down at Copper Cellar one day when you had your canary yellow shirt on. You were dancing.
Okay. I was calling to talk to Tony. Where's Tony at?
Unfortunately, Tony's father is in hospice up in the Philadelphia area, and Tony's gone up to spend some time until he passes over, I'm afraid. And hopefully he's listening, but he's not participating today.
Well, you tell him Barney Boy called, and I'll have him in my prayers tonight. But But now my son, best friend, went to the game. I'm up here in Benton, Virginia, and I watched the first half of the spring game. And I want to give you my outtake of what I saw and what I think is going to happen.
Please.
I just hope Butch Jones, I'm not a fan of Butch Jones, but these coaches that he's hired, especially a quarterback coach, and Normandy look real well. First time I've seen quarterbacks in years hitting wide open wide receivers, perfect passes. That's going to be the key. And I think we do have the talent. I just want Butch Jones to just be a head coach and let these new coaches coach. And I think Tennessee can be competitive in the East.
I think you're right. I mean, if we can, you know, if we can have a quarterback manage the game, now my concern on offense is that we just have a lot of guys that we're counting on that are not primetime players. Receivers besides Juwan Jennings, not much has been happening there.
Yeah.
Eli Wolf, you know, he, in my opinion, he's had a down year or maybe even more than a year from his freshman campaign. And then John Kelly, we got a little taste of him last year,
but I
he has had to do 30-35 carries. So
I think John, look what Josh Dobbs do, but you know last year he had a problem hitting wide open wide receivers in stride. His passing game was up, and Normandy looks like he's going to be a pure passer, and then that's going to help the running game. Hey, I'm excited about the quarterback situation this year.
Yeah, to be honest, I really am too. I didn't see much play action, and I don't remember either quarterback taking the ball under center. But I was very impressed with Dormady hitting open receivers.
Exactly, and perfect passes in the end zone. But the key here, please, Butch Jones, if you're listening, I'm going to give you A+, and I don't give an A+ to Butch Jones. He went out and I think got a good coaching staff. He got a strength coach. He got a quarterback coach. Got Brady Hoke. Let these guys do it. Butch, you be the head coach. Make decisions. Keep the football program legal, but let these coaches coach, and we're going to compete in the East. I swear to you. I think we got the talent. I just want Butch Jones to just lay back and let these good coaches coach. Get out there and show. I mean, he gets mad and irate at everything. Be calm and let the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, let these coaches do their thing. And we're going to compete, and Dormady is going to be a quarterback in the SEC. Put it in the books.
Great call, Barney Boy. Thank you so much. Tell your son we said hello.
All right, and tell Tony I'm thinking about him and hope everything goes well. Y'all take care in Knoxville.
Yes, sir. You too.
Thank you so much, Barney. And do you think that you've heard a lot about Butch Jones and the fact that he's sort of a little bit more laid back? Did you sort of sense that today?
I don't know about laid back because I don't think Butch Jones can be laid back. I think he's just
or more laid back.
Well, no, I
not
don't
as
think
intense.
He's,
maybe
I think he's just quieter. I think he's figured out that when he starts talking into a microphone, things don't always go the way he wants them to. So I think he's just learning some lessons that it's better to say nothing and not look stupid than to open your mouth and have it shoved back down your throat. So I give him credit for that, though, but I'm not so sure that he's any more laid back or relaxed than he has been.
As let's give a recap of what we might have missed to start the show off, Sean.
Well, we had a... you know, this 2017 spring orange and white game edition comes with, I guess, one injury that we're still looking at. A walk-on running back looks like he had a knee situation. But aside from that, we come out relatively injury-free. Dormady has a game of 10 for 10 for like 120 yards. Garantano also looked very good. A lot of stars were on the sidelines nursing injuries or being, you know, keeping them from getting injured. And then some inclement weather approached Neyland Stadium, so Butch called it a half and sent everybody home for safety, and I think it was the right call.
Quentin Dormady has a few quotes that he wants to that I want to basically I want to let you guys know about. Dormady was asked if he's a better athlete than perception, says, yes, I do. I'm not sure why I don't get the credit for being an athlete. This is according to John Bryce. And Dormady says he embraces the leadership needed this offseason, will be quick to organize summer throwing drills.
You know what? He's a way better athlete than Jacob Eason is, and nobody has an issue with that. You know, I think we've all seen the Butch Jones offense and how it sputters at times, and it just appears that when it happens, we need a quarterback that can make some plays and pick up third downs, or Josh Dobbs doing his thing. But I trust that Larry Scott can tailor the offense, that we're not so dependent on some of those things, because, you know, quite frankly, Josh Dobbs, in my opinion, there's no question he put out some great stats through his career, had some big wins. I appreciate everything he's done, but I think he left a lot of passes out there that he didn't see properly or overthrew with an accuracy or for whatever reason. So I wouldn't just totally give up on this offense if Dormady's your starter. I was very impressed with him.
And Jarrett Garantano says Larry Scott has incorporated more toughness than in the past.
Well, I can't speak to that. I hope that's true. We'll see, you know, once the offensive line gets healthy and a starting five is established. I was not impressed whatsoever with the offensive line last year, whether it was because of injuries or, frankly, I never saw anyone finish a block last year. I still don't know what to make of Drew Richmond. He's still a work in progress, in my opinion. Did Coleman Thomas even play today? I don't remember hearing his name.
I don't think so, but Trey Smith definitely played. And do you think? I mean, Trey Smith appears to be head and shoulders after not even being in the program very long. He appears to be way ahead of where Drew Richmond. He's way ahead of where you thought Drew Richmond might be.
Well, I still think Drew Richmond struggles a great deal. And I don't know if it's from a physical or a mental standpoint. We'll see. Trey Smith, that's why you recruit five stars, man. I mean, you take a look at the guys that shined out there. Marquez Callaway, four-star, top 50, 60, 70 player in the country. Trey Smith, ESPN has a top player in the country. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but at least they thought so. You know, Garantano and Dormady, both, I believe, four stars, and they were highlights out there. So, you know, that's what you do. You know, Trey Smith, the reason that's important, Trey Smith stands out, but, you know, guys like Alabama, I mean, they're getting two and three Trey Smiths a year for the offensive line, and likewise on defense. So I don't think their star ratings are the be-all, end-all. I don't think they necessarily guarantee production or performance in your college career. But, I do put a little weight on them.
Speaking of the offensive line, there is going to be a lot of competition. According to Jones, Jashaun Mott is the model of stability, and Tatum will be at 295 pounds by the season's beginning.
Who was the first one I heard you say about Tatum? What did you say the model?
Jashaun Robertson will be the model of stability.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't think Jashaun had a great year last year. But there was talk that he was always, you know, he was bookended by, a wobbly Coleman Thomas on his right, and then Drew Richmond on his left. So, you know, maybe he had, you know, other things to take care of. But he's coming into his senior year, if I remember correctly. And so, look, we need a strong offensive line. We really do, because we're going to have to rely on a running game and then play action pass. So. It'll be interesting to see what Coach Wells, the new offensive line coach, having one voice out there talking instead of two and three with Mahoney and DeBoard and Wells, who was out there last year.
We're going to try to take this to 6:30. We want your calls. We want your participation. It's 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Sean, the weather has certainly wreaked havoc around the area. There's reports of hail, and I want everybody to be careful as they're driving out there. If they're driving, if they've got to be going somewhere, keep an eye on the sky and don't try to. There's a flash flood warning in effect until maybe 8:30 or so. So if you think the water looks a little bit too high, try to stay dry and don't attempt to go through that in your vehicle unless you have some kind of amphibious buggy or something.
That's right. Well, yeah, safe going home for all the fans that came in. I really appreciate everyone that came out. I didn't have the opportunity to, and quite frankly, I wasn't going to anyway. So I don't want to say that. So you know, hats off to everybody that made the effort to go out there. I really appreciate that. You are true Vol fans. This is interesting to me. VolQuest has a quote from Tyler Bird, says, quote, "I definitely feel like I'm a wide receiver now, but at heart, I will always be a cornerback." I'll tell you, that's as Titans Bill says, that's going to burn my sausage, because I see a guy that's going to have minimal impact at wide receiver. I truly believe that. And not because of his ability, but because of, you know, other guys on the field. And I think he could be a superstar cornerback. I mean, here we were dreadful over the past several years at cornerback. We're trying to get involved with a graduate transfer from Louisville, who I believe may have been in town this week, Shaq Wiggins, originally from UGA. And we've got a kid here that was arguably the most dominant player as a cornerback in the U.S. Army All-American game, and I'm not even sure he's going to be a starting wide receiver. So I don't get that. I just don't get that. That ranks right up there with Alvin Kamara not getting many passes, you know, not many touches in his career at Tennessee, or as many as he should, and the lack of a true bona fide quarterback coach. So
how many players?
I guess Butch Jones knows better than I do.
Well, how many players have you dealt with, or maybe when you were part of the team yourself, or not part of, you know, when you were in school, that you remember that may have really wanted deep down inside to play another position? And can you think of anybody recently that could be, that you could say that about?
Well, I don't know. You know, certainly there was always talk that Jason Witten, you know, wanted to remain a defensive end, and I think we would all agree that, you know, he will probably go into the Hall of Fame as a tight end, so that was one. You know, there were always several defensive linemen that recruited that went over to offensive line because they may not have had the quickness to stay at defensive line in college, but, you know, for his limited, you know, Butch Jones and his receivers have talked about how they want, you know, like 10 guys rotating through the wide receiver ranks. I mean, come on. You're talking about an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, 21-year-old kid. I'm not saying he has to play, you know, both sides every play, but he's just too good of an athlete to be sitting over there as your fourth wide receiver, your fifth wide receiver to me.
Well, Carl Pickens was a player who I think he ended up playing, but I'm not sure if he ever really wanted to play defense or not, but, I mean, he played both ways. He's the last one I can really remember other than maybe a Hail Mary situation where you brought an extra defensive back in there.
Yeah, I'm not good with that stuff. Certainly Carl was a freak of nature. But, you know, I mean, Adoree Jackson did it, you know, for USC. There have been other players that have done it. Still, I would rather have, you know, a high-quality cornerback than a fourth or fifth wide receiver.
Why are coaches afraid to just take a chance on something like that? Is it injuries, or why would they just be so hesitant?
Well, it's not a chance. I think what Butch Jones is a wide receiver coach. I've often accused him of being a guy that likes to collect wide receivers. I believe that if he could have 85 wide receivers on his team, he'd probably be happy with that as a former wide receiver coach. And I believe that, you know, buck stops with him, and if a kid's going to be a wide receiver or a cornerback, he wants another wide receiver. So, go figure.
Let's go to T-Carp. T-Carp, thank you for calling.
Hey, no problem, guys. Y'all doing okay?
Absolutely. You?
Well, I honestly think Dormady's going to be your starter. I like him. From what I heard and from what I saw, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I did get a chance to listen to it and follow it on Twitter. When Garantano almost throws a pick the very first time he throws it in the spring game, kind of really very concerning to me. He may be able to be the best athlete on the field. He may be able to pull it down and run for 25, 30 yards. But I want someone, like you said earlier, to put the ball on the numbers, and that matters quite a bit. Especially when we're going to be facing teams like Georgia and Florida. If you throw the ball behind a guy, that ball's going to be picked off and taken back to the house. And they're going to throw crazy different defenses at you, and you got to be prepared for that. And they're going to put you in situations where you're not going to be able to run the football like they did to Dobbs, and they're going to make you throw. I'd rather have a quarterback that's ready for that and that can pull it down if he has to, than a quarterback that is relying on his feet rather than his arm. Does that make sense?
It does. I would caution everybody to not draw total conclusions about what you saw today, especially with Garantano. I think a couple things play into this. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the quarterback competition, and I believe Garantano wanted to showcase what he can do. Dormady comes out as 10 for 10. I mean, he just looked smooth as silk. I mean, he was dropping balls all over. I mean, he made every throw that I saw just on the money. I mean, the one to Eli Wolf was fantastic, but I'll tell you what, the back shoulder or the whatever touchdown to Juwan Jennings, that's been an adventure around here for several years. That was an absolute perfect pass. So I think that Garantano may have been pressing a little bit. I mentioned that before. And still, he's a young kid. I mean, he's just a freshman with a new coach, a new offensive coordinator. You know, and again, as I think Jeff said, as our first caller, you know, we really didn't do a lot that highlights his abilities, and that also was the case out at the opening Elite 11 last year when he was the dominant performer until they went to their little 7-on-7 deal, and that's just not his game. You know, his game is eluding people, not necessarily running, but throwing on the run. So while I will say that I think it's very much promising what you said about Dormady, and likely he might be the opening quarterback for Tennessee. I don't know if I'd draw too much negative from Garantano.
Okay, I can definitely understand that. And also we have to think about this offense, especially with the read option. Is Dormady going to command the respect in the run game that Garantano is? So, you know, when he hands it off to John Kelly, you know, is everybody just going to crash on Kelly, or are they going to? Is that defensive end just going to hold? And we saw the difference in that. Do you remember the Alabama game when we first saw Dobbs? When Dobbs pulled it out and it made that defensive end, you know, hold. I remember that first few times, you know, Dobbs made people look like an idiot. And it really opened up the offense, and it's just, who knows at this point? Like you said, who knows, but we'll see. Guys, thank you so much. Y'all have a good one.
T-Carp, thanks for calling. We'd like you, too, to call. We got a couple more minutes here, a couple more moments, and get your impressions of the orange and white game. I think that everybody's talking about the read option, and I think you'll see a lot less of that. Butch Jones talked about when he was at Cincinnati, they kind of tailored their offense around, you know, what their quarterback could do. I'm not sure we've seen that here at Tennessee, but I'd like to think that, you know, heck, Georgia doesn't do that, and they've had a very effective running game with Chubb and some of the other guys, like Gurley. LSU, you know, sits back in a shotgun. One back a lot, and they don't do a lot of read option, and they've had a successful running game. So I think we may see a little tweaking here and there, and then maybe what you'll see is Dormady not do the true read option, but every once in a while, with a little shake up, keep the ball. or just a straight handoff. So, anyone else on the line, Brian?
Let's go to JB. JB, thank you.
Fellas, how are you doing today?
JB, thanks for calling.
Thanks for doing the show today, guys. I know that's something that was difficult, and Brian, thank you for doing it.
Well, I don't think I really contributed much, but thank you for calling.
By the way, fellas, let me just send this board out to Tony. Tony, I would just say that what you're going through now is a difficult thing, and been through it twice in my life. Lost my dad at 19 and lost my mom after a struggle with cancer. I'd like to dedicate a couple of songs to Tony, Dance with My Father by Luther Vandross, and Somebody Like You with Daryl Hall and Joe Walsh at Daryl's house. Some people are irreplaceable like your dad, Tony, and kind of like you. So even a black sheep like me understands the importance of a guy like Tony. And guys like you, Briny and Doc.
Well, thank you, JB. What were your impressions of the game?
I like Daryl Taylor.
Dan okay.
Ray Johnson. I like. Obviously, Dormady showed me he dropped it in the bucket twice. Once in the bucket, and once into Wolf. Good touch on the ball. I think it's too soon to discount JG. I think he's got ability and I think he can play. But if we start today, obviously, Dormady's our quarterback.
Well, and there's no reason that Garantano has to be ready today.
No.
Or even Georgia Tech. I mean, the guy's a developing quarterback. The instant gratification society we want. I think there's too much made of quarterback competitions and player A versus player B. They're both Vols. I think I'm glad they're both here, and it'll work its way out.
Guys, I think the big story, though, is the story I want to talk about as well. You're right about Bird. Bird will go down when Botch is fired, as he will be fired. The Bird failure would go down as a classic failure, along with under Houston Kamara, which we pulled our hair out for two years, not letting Dobbs pull the bridle off. Dontavius Blair in Richmond, and mismanagement of other players. It is actually torture to watch him mismanage these players.
I can't debate anything you're saying.
And I know with Blair and Richmond, Mississippi. Now, I think I would like to propose a Big Orange Country Sisters and Girlfriends Employment Agency to get some more Trey Smith. Because Trey, he'll open up a can of whip-ass if he needs to, and I like that, by the way.
I do, too, and I like the fact that he's not just tied down at tackle. He can play guard if needs to, and it creates competition, and I'm a big proponent of competition.
He played right guard today, and he did a pretty good job. He's a very talented. You're right. Five stars play well, usually. So if you want some better players, get some better players.
Amen.
Guys, I'd like to say that looking at the season, I'm hopeful, but I'm not really optimistic. By the way, did Alexis Johnson was helped off the field? Do you get any word on him, by the way? Or you went off the field? He went to the dressing room. Do you think about Alexis Johnson?
I didn't hear that. I didn't notice that he went off. I have nothing to judge us by, but I'm not totally sold on his desire to be out there. To be quite honest with you,
I wonder about that. You kind of wonder after a couple of years how much you really want to be here.
There are a lot of guys like that.
Yeah, a lot of JUCOs are like that. Guys, listen, I appreciate you being here today. And, Tony, we love you. And we're reaching out to you with our hearts and our prayers. And just like when your dad passes, you ought to take his place. And we know you can. Although you don't think that now, you will. Brownie, we love you. Doc, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, JB. Let's go to Jeek, and let's close it up with Jeeker.
We say GQF.
What's happening, guys?
Not much. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'll be honest with you, Brownie. Heck, I was planning on calling you, but it caught me off guard when they canceled that second half. You know, I had to sit there and watch the mop-up duty of Georgia, the scrum dogs there.
Yeah, we saw maybe 40 minutes of scrimmages or whatever they had, 40 minutes of coverage after the Georgia game ran long or the Georgia spring game ran long.
Yeah, and I thought that
I thought it was a deal. I thought they were having a quarter. It went so quick. I thought they were having that quarterback competition at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, they had it at halftime.
Yeah. Which, and I'm like, well, that's typical Butchie boy.
I just don't really, due to the weather, I think knowing what the weather was going to be like, I'm not so sure I wouldn't have just canceled the game altogether and said, you know, we're going to have the kids to consign autographs, we'll have a celebration, whatever, but we're not going to have a scrimmage.
I agree with you, Brian. And, you know, you said that to begin with, especially with the weather forecast.
And the injuries, I mean, you're putting those kids at risk for more injuries, and you saw a couple, and that's just totally unnecessary.
Hey, Doc, do you think that kid tore his ACL? I can't remember his name.
Dowdy?
Yeah.
That looked ugly.
Yeah, it didn't look good at all. Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
But Doc, I want to get your take on this.
Okay.
And yours too, Brian. If Butchie Boy does not start Garantano, if he doesn't start out as our starting quarterback, They should get him for malignorance, and I think that's a cross between malfeasance and ignorance. Because I mean, that guy, he's got to win this year. And don't get me wrong, I know Garantano's going to be our starting quarterback in time. But guys, think about it. In my opinion, the best quarterback in UT history, while he was playing as the starting quarterback, was Tony Robbins, and that guy didn't start till his junior year. And I like what you said, Doc, about competition. I like guys that that don't shy away from competition. I mean, Dormady sit here for 2 years, and he's worked his butt off, and he looks to me like he's head and shoulders our best quarterback out there. And Butchie Boy needs the win this year. So if he doesn't roll him out there as his starting quarterback, I'd go ahead and fire him when he announces the depth chart.
So you want Garantano to start from day one, right?
No, I want Dormady to start.
Yeah, you said Garantano.
Yeah, okay, you said Garantano.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I meant Dormady.
Well, I'll tell you. I in this society, you say one thing and people hear another thing. But in Dormady, I saw a kid that looked completely at comfort back there. It looked like he had a full understanding of what to do with the ball. He made quick decisions. He got the ball out. And it's been so long, Jeke, since we've seen a quarterback put the ball consistently on the numbers. I came away extremely impressed with Dormady.
Yeah, and I think that's because we're so anxious to throw out the newest guy out there. Let a guy sit back there and get seasoned for a year, maybe 2 years, like Dormady has. And, you know, and if Garantano can sit back there for a year, who knows? Hey, Dormady, if he comes out and lights it up this year, who knows? He may go pro.
I heard we had John Bryce on Wednesday, and he said that, and it kind of surprised me. But when you think about that, what the Trubisky kid or whatever his name is over at North Carolina, I mean, that kid had no more accomplishment than Dormady has coming into this past year, and he's leaving early. And if Cleveland totally messes it up, he could be the number one pick. I doubt it, but I agree with you. I agree. Oh. And now that I understand what you're saying about Dormady and not Garantano, I agree. And look, I think that Butch Jones is trying to keep a scenario where both quarterbacks stay, and we'll just see what happens. It looks like, from everything I've heard, that they both get along well, so there's no division on the team, kind of like you had with was it Clawson and Ainge or whatever back in the day? And I may have that. I mean, not Clawson, excuse me, Ainge and Sims, yeah. And so whoever, but I'll tell you this: wide receivers love the quarterback that gets them the ball where they can do something with the ball. And from what I saw, that guy is Quentin Dormady.
So if Dormady has the type of season where he has that option as far as going to the NFL, how many wins do you think they will have had? What would their final
really
record
matter, because I don't know how many North Carolina had. I mean, it's all the NFL draft these days for quarterback is all about potential.
And here's the thing about it also. Hey, if you don't have to play Garantano this year, you can redshirt him. And if you do have to play him this year,
well, you've already redshirted him.
Oh, that's right.
He redshirted last year, so he's going into his he's been on campus for over a year. So
here's what I'd like to see, Jeke, and I've never seen it since I've been following Tennessee. I'm not here to say you have a platoon system, but I have no clue why. Maybe not against Alabama, maybe not against Georgia or Florida, but we play so many Humpties on this schedule year in and year out. You can't tell me there's not room out there to get somewhere in the second quarter or whatever, give the backup quarterback a drive with the first team offense, because year in and year out, if Fulmer was guilty of this, Jones is, we'll be up by 28 points, and he's still got the starter in there. Give the guy some run. So if your quarterback gets hurt, he's not out there with a deer with his head, in the headlights.
I agree with you 100% there, Sinclair. And we've been doing that for years. I mean, yep. I don't think since Johnny Majors was there have we ever, when we've gotten a lead, gotten our backup quarterback in there to get him some experience.
Do you think there's a chance we could see a two quarterback system?
No, I think that's fool. I mean, I know Spurrier got away with it a little bit, but when you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one, in my opinion.
Hey, Doc, and I think your first step is the one that you just mentioned. When you're up and you're playing these no-good teams, get your backup in there so he can play. I mean,
yes.
I think that's your first step into having your backup quarterback ready.
Absolutely. And here's the way you manage that. You just let them know, hey, before the game starts, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you a series here. Well, you pick it. I don't care. You pick it. And then, you know what? After that series, you're coming out. And I'm not going to create some kind of quarterback controversy. You're going to play at this time, and then you're coming out. And then if we get a big lead, you can finish the game.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I was really not looking forward to this season. But I'll tell you what, Dormady's got my helps up, or my hopes up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't tell you how impressed I was with not only his ability to throw the ball, but with his mental ability to know where to throw the ball. And I just was very impressed.
And getting the ball out quick.
No question. I mean, I remember one of my favorite quarterbacks had very little talent, and that was Gary Hollinsworth at Alabama. And the fact that what made him so good is that he made a quick decision, and he got the ball to his playmaker. And not every ball has to be, an 80-yard bomb. How many times have we gotten the ball to Alvin Kamara over the past couple of years and just do what he does?
Yeah, you got to get him out of the witness protection program first.
Well, there you go.
But, guys, appreciate you being in there. And I hate it for that kid. It looked like he tore his ACL today. That didn't look good. And I don't know. I don't know if it was just because of the field was slick. I didn't see any chunks coming up like they were last year. So,
no, I noticed a lot of those circle of life drills were affected by a wet grass.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you guys have a good rest of the weekend.
You do the same.
Thank you too. Thanks for calling, Ronnie. So, you want to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up, Sean. Are you optimistic? More optimistic after today? What kind of season do you think? Just calling it really early. It's way ridiculously early, but from a one-loss standpoint, what do you see happening?
Well, I'll tell you this. Now, who knows? I think that first game against Georgia Tech is going to tell us a lot. My spirits are lifted a bit by Quentin Dormady out there, taking nothing away from Garantano. But given the fact that we've got a lot of kids that are coming off injuries, we've lost a lot of star power to the draft. We have a field goal kicker who's inconsistent at best, and we've got a lot of new coaches in important positions. I think this team is. If I had a gun to my head, I'd have to say 8-4, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was a little bit less, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was 7-5 and 9-3. Wouldn't surprise me either. But I think you have a big challenge on your hand if you're asking this team to win 10 games regular season.
Sean, I want to thank Tony, and I want to say we're thinking about you. you're never far from our thoughts. And, Sean, I do appreciate you coming on and taking some time out from, I'm sure, your busy weekend to help us out and lend us a hand.
Thank you so much, and I want to congratulate my Chelsea Blues for knocking off Tottenham in the FA Cup semifinals. Go Blues!
So that's the semifinal, right? So the second semifinal is tomorrow.
Second semifinal is Man City against Arsenal,
and then the winner takes on Chelsea.
Finals will play the 27th of May in Wembley.
Well, Sean, we wish Chelsea all the good luck, and Chelsea's still leading the Premier League table right now, and I think that's probably where they're going to end up. So, the Vols, I think you're going to see anywhere from maybe I could see a high of 9 wins, maybe a low of 6 or 7. Anywhere in between is kind of what I'm thinking right now.
I think that's very fair. I think it's very fair, and this is what I'd like to leave you with is we really need Butch to succeed. We really do. He's got a lot of in-state talent this year. I think that he finally has a high quality coaching staff with him, and I'm not saying year zero or anything like that, and I'm not predicting anything greatness, but we really need Butch to succeed because if we blow him out, I think the cycle just keeps on going. Now I'm not carrying water for him or saying we should forgive, you know, inept play. And
he's got to be held accountable, that's for sure.
Well, there's no question. I mean, if he's right in front of me, I'm going to say it right to his face. I'll say it right to his family's face. He's blown 2 games in the past 2 years, each of the past years, and he's absolutely blown the Eastern Division. That's on him.
I can't put that out of my mind. I can't get past that. Until he actually wins the East, that's the first thing that's going to stand out when it comes to Butch.
Absolutely, and not only that, he's 2-2 against Vanderbilt. Give me a break. I mean, there's no excuse for losing 1 game to Vanderbilt, nevertheless 2. When you're 500 against Vanderbilt and you're 0-3 against Muschamp, I got nothing for you.
I'd say that's probably not a good thing to say around dinner time.
There you go.
Sean,
Brian, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Tony, my thoughts and prayers are with you and your family, and we hope to see you back in Knoxville soon.
And everybody, stay alive, stay dry. Don't drive through a flooded area.
Here on the way out, so great talking with you. Give me, if you can, a final word.